Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Sylvia's Synergy Effect. Brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy effect with Synergy Home Care.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend and are having a great start to your week. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Tell us what you know later this hour. We'll have a good prize attached to it. We're going to ask for your participation. It's very easy. It's very simple. Just tell us what you know. It's an open canvas. We now talk with TD, Teron Davenport, who is the NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. You should also check out his podcast every week, Talking with TD. Teron, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Found Vic Beasley yet?
Yeah, I think that's an unsolved mystery. You'll see it on the next episode.
Oh, so we got to wait another episode, huh? How do we think this next episode's going to go?
Man, I can't really call it, man. It's you know, I would have thought he would have reported by now, but evidently it's not something that has happened, so I can't imagine it'll start off too well, you know, the next episode, but things tend to have a happy ending, so we'll see what happens.
What do you think, why do you think John Robinson came out with that statement last week concerning the situation?
I think because he was finally in contact with him and wanted to make it known that he was in contact, you know, because obviously if a case of someone is no call, no show, I mean, there's all types of speculation that could rise. So I think he wisely put an end to it, you know, by getting in touch with him and being able to put that report out.
So privately, and I know you, I'm just asking for your opinion, privately, how do you think the Titans feel? Like, how do you think John Robinson and Mike Vrabel privately feel about this whole situation? Do you think that they are concerned about this signing? Do you think it's a – I know they vetted the whole situation. He came with stuff. It wasn't clean. We all know that. Do you think right now privately that they're going, rut-row, did we make a mistake? Or how do you think they feel right now?
No, I don't think they are saying, uh-oh, did we make a mistake? Because neither of them strike someone – to be concerned about something they don't have any control of, right? Like, you can't go back and not sign him. He's with the team. So I think there's disappointment from them just in the fact that the slate was wiped clean, and that was something that when I asked Mike Vrabel, he went out of his way to make it known that you know, he's not worried about the stuff from before, and the slate is clean. And I think, you know, it's probably disappointing to Coach Vrabel as well as John Robinson, because they extended a clean slate to him and they're not getting off to a solid start. So in my opinion, there's frustration there. But I think like most other issues, they'll work through it and figure it out. But it's definitely not something that either one of them are happy about, in my opinion.
They trotted out some coaches last week via Zoom for the media to talk to. Arthur Smith was one of them. You had Shane Bowen, the outside linebackers coach, at special teams. What stood out to you, Teron? I'll just leave it wide open. Maybe a couple takeaways from those Zoom calls.
Yeah, I like the way Coach Shane Bowen was fielding questions about more than just the outside linebackers, but he made it clear that that's his focus. At the same time, he reiterated that he's an extension of Mike Vrabel, so he is going to be the person that's the voice in the room when Mike Vrabel isn't there. That stood out to me. Also, I asked him about using Vic Beasley on some of the stunts, the TE stunts that the Falcons used, and it's something that you saw that the Titans used last year with Jarrell Casey. And he did say that that's something that, well, in so many words, he said that's something that they're going to work. He agreed that that's something that Vic Beasley does well. And he said when a player does something well, you definitely want to incorporate it. So that tells me they'll get it mixed in. With Coach Aukerman, special teams coach, I it stood out that he said Adoree Jackson was still placed for return duty.
Okay, that's where I was going. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, you could have just asked me that.
Well, I know, but I just wanted to hear what you would say, and then I was going
to
go there.
I was going to say about Coach Arthur Smith, too, but yeah, okay, we'll talk Adoree.
I mean, were you shocked as I was to hear that? I mean, I'm like, what? I'm reading the transcripts, and I'm like, what? Adoree Jackson still in the mix for returns? I mean, what was your initial thoughts when he said that?
I wasn't shocked, but I was surprised that that's something they're still approaching, because I thought for sure that the idea was to allow him to focus on cornerback, which is an area that he's blossomed, you know, over the last few games last year. And I thought that was going to be the focus for him, especially taking on another role of having to play nickel.
I just, you know, we've talked about this with you over and over again, and I think we all came to the conclusion he just looks very uncomfortable in that role, and he's too valuable in his other role, which is what he really gets paid for. I'm just surprised that they're willing to go back down that road again. He's never looked comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't look comfortable when he was last doing it. And here's the thing, though. They need to add some type of explosiveness. So I get them wanting to, you know, at least consider it, because right now they're not really getting anything as far as field position is concerned out of the return game. For the most part, in the punt return game, it's all about, okay, secure that punt so that we could just at least have possession of the ball. You know what I mean? So that's something that could help them get to that next level, getting more dynamic in the return game.
You brought up Arthur Smith. What anything stand out with what he had to say?
I mean, I liked his comments in regards to Logan Woodside and just speaking on how much he helped from a preparation standpoint, and that really helped himself. And that's something that I wrote about on ESPN.com this morning in regards to who has the inside track to the backup quarterback job. And I think it's becoming clear that they're not going to bring in a veteran, and Woodside is the guy for that job, but he'll compete with Cole McDonald. So I thought that was good that Coach Smith touched on that. That definitely stood out. And then he talked a little bit about A.J. Brown, you know, taking it to the next level. Obviously, last year he had an outstanding season, but it's all about how can you ascend from where you were before and you know, get better. And that's something that they're working to do. So those things stood out to me.
My takeaway on Logan Woodside is we've seen this example so many times in sports. It's not just football. Behind the scenes, they have a better feel for somebody than we do. They see them every day. And it's very clear. They love him in, you know, in the meetings. They love him on the practice field. They obviously love a lot of things about Logan Woodside. But that happens all the time in sports. And sometimes it plays out. You go, oh, now you know why they love him. And then other times you see, well, that's great that they love all those qualities about them. But when it's time to get out on the playing surface, you know, they're just not good enough. And so that to me is what's going to be interesting. He's checking off a lot of boxes right now, but we still have no clue if on Sundays when Ryan Tannehill goes down, either during the course of a game or he has to miss a start or starts, what Logan Woodside would look like, you know, on Sundays in a Tennessee Titans uniform under center.
Yeah, I mean, he did get to play in the preseason. I thought he did really pretty well. He did a good job of executing a 2-minute drive in that fourth preseason game, the 2-minute drill. He did a good job there. So here's the thing: it's all about, for a backup, you want to have a guy that could come in and keep the offense on schedule and keep it on track. Now, obviously, if Tannehill were to not be able to play for a period of time, you're going to lose some explosiveness. I mean, Tannehill does an awesome job of delivering the ball down the field. He does a really good job of throwing the anticipation to get yards after the catch for A.J. Brown, you know, to get those that yak. But at the same time, you want to have a guy that has a really good command of the offense, a good control of the huddle, and be able to go in there and keep things on schedule. And I think Woodside could do that.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN, Titans NFL Nation reporter. So and sticking with the offense for a second, because I know Arthur talked about Deterrian Evans, the running back drafted out of Appalachian State, that's going to be backing up Derrick Henry and getting him comfortable in the system where he can take some of the load off of Derrick Henry. In your opinion, how important is it for him to understand this quickly so they can do that, so they're not working Derrick Henry maybe as hard as we've seen in years past?
Yeah, I don't think Derrick Henry has been overworked in years past, to be honest with you. In my opinion, you want him at the 300 carry plateau. So I think if they dip below that, I don't think they're doing their team a good look. So it is important for Evans to come in and pick things up. I mean, Darrington Evans has to be able to be ready to contribute when called upon. And we know that's going to mean he'll get some opportunities on third down. But I don't think it's important or something that they should do as far as take away carries from Derrick Henry. He is, and it's not even a conversation to have. As he carries the football, he gets better. And you see it during a game, and then you also see it throughout the year. No running back averaged more yards per carry with a minimum of 200 carries than Derrick Henry. So, I mean, that tells you right there that he's a guy that you want to feed the football. So, don't continue to do that.
I guess what I mean, though, is do you think that Arthur looks at it as an option to add just another wrinkle to this offense? I mean, that, you know, if Darrington Evans comes in and he can be effective, maybe a little more so than Deion Lewis, which is, you know, in my opinion, why they cut Deion Lewis. It just adding that wrinkle of having yet another weapon that Ryan Tannehill can use.
Well, yeah, I mean, you always want to have another weapon. And Ryan Tannehill actually said, when asked about Darrington Evans, he said that he is a very explosive player, you know, especially catching the football. So that's something that would definitely help them, just having another person that could take it to the house. And Arthur Smith said before, back in June, that he wanted to make sure that they did maintain that explosiveness, and he wanted to get more guys involved. So I could see that being a plus. I think that's why they drafted him in the third round. I mean, you look at his body of work at App State. I mean, there are plenty of 70-plus yard plays that he delivered.
So far, the Titans are lucky, and it looks like they just had the undrafted player that has opted out. But when you look around the league, Teron, and you see some of these guys that are opting out, especially for the Patriots, I mean, they've lost 8 players, I believe, to this point from opt-outs. But there are a lot of depth players. There are a lot of role players. There are some starters as well. But what do you think that does for the product this year when you don't have some of those go-to guys, especially when you have to factor in that injuries are going to happen?
Yeah, I don't think it cheapens the product as far as the guys who have opted out so far. I think it definitely, you know, you look at the Patriots, they drafted Kyle Dugans from Lenoir Rhines. So they kind of had a succession plan. Mike Reese from ESPN.com wrote about this yesterday. They have guys in succession to kind of step in for a lot of the ones that did end up opting out. And I think really it just, for me, like, it makes it more interesting because now you see the next man up, you know, taking advantage of that opportunity. So I don't think it cheapened the product at all. But, I mean, we still have a couple of days. You know, if a premier player should decide to opt out, which I wouldn't knock him in doing so, if he should do that, then, yeah, that would cheapen the product somewhat, you know, at least when his team plays.
How much do you think front office members, the league itself, they're paying attention to what's happening in Major League Baseball and really monitoring that situation. And what do you think their concern level is going up because of that and how it might affect the NFL season?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not even a front office executive myself, and I'm paying attention to it, you know. So I'm sure that they are doing the same thing, even to a higher level, because it impacts them so much more. So I think they're looking at it. But one of the things that really stood out from Ryan Tannehill's presser, and I really respect him for saying it, but he said guys got to be more conscious and be more careful. And he mentioned not going to bars or not having just anybody at your house. This is a time period where there's going to be sacrifice. Everybody is sacrificing some in order to be able to move forward in a more healthy atmosphere. So, you know, you look for these players. I think when you look at, you know, some of the things surrounding the Cardinals and especially the Marlins and their recklessness and how it resulted in that situation, I think that's something that the players are looking at. I think it's something that front office types are looking at too. And it is a lesson that they could learn and that they could apply, because, I mean, being reckless like that, it's not the thing to do ever, but especially right now where there's so much out there.
I understand the logistics involved with the bubble system like the NBA and the NHL have done, but we're seeing that they work. I mean, I'm sitting here watching a hockey game right now that's taking place inside the Edmonton bubble. Do you think that the NFL maybe messed up by not trying to go that route of having a bubble set up for their season? Do you think that could affect things?
I don't think they messed up because, I mean, you know, I'm not sure how they could do that. How can you get all of those people into, you know, one universal place? I just don't think it's possible. So I can't say they messed up by doing that. I mean, you do look at some team. I think it's the Saints. They did kind of like an individual team bubble. They're taking that approach, and we'll see how that works. But I definitely don't think they messed up at all. And I don't think that the bubble is something that, you know, we'll have.
I threw that out there on Friday, that you can't in the NFL, it's too big, there's too many players, too many teams. You can't do a universal bubble, but what if every team treated basically this season like a long – training camp where, you know, they would stay, you know, especially for the teams that go away from their facility and they go stay in a hotel or on a campus and they just commute back and forth from the field. Or, you know, Maxwell House is what they've used as a team hotel. You just, unfortunately, one of those sacrifices that you're talking about is you're just going to go back and forth from the team hotel to the facility, and that's going to be your life this season.
Yeah.
I know that's hard,
yeah,
but I mean, it's that.
I'm not sure I could. It's different for NBA and hockey because we're talking about what a 2.5 month period, right?
Well, it could be less. Obviously, there's only going to be two teams that are going to be in the bubble, you know, 3 months. So, you know, everybody else is going to go home week by week, or, you know, just as you get eliminated. So you're right. I mean, everybody would have to – what you're getting at, I think, is this is a consistent bubble for, what, 5 months?
Right, at a minimum. You know, and I can't ask a man to – or a family to not – like, I couldn't do that for a five-month period.
I know, but it's like you see baseball and you're thinking, what's the alternative? What if this happens, you know – on the NFL side, what if a whole position room tests positive and they're out for a couple of weeks and you have no offensive linemen? Or, you know, it's like, ugh, what if games – you right now, would you bet on a game getting canceled this season or games?
Oh, there'll be a game canceled. Game canceled. But, you know, the thing is, to go back to baseball, remember, what's at the root of that issue is recklessness.
Yeah.
If there's one thing you could sacrifice right now, it's going to a bar, right? You could sacrifice going to a casino. You could sacrifice those things that are just surface level entertainment that isn't a necessity for living. You know what I mean? So that's different. I think, you know, when you look at the situation with baseball, it really is because of recklessness and carelessness. And I'm hoping, you know, for the sake of myself as someone who loves to cover, for the sake of fans who love to watch and everyone else, you know, that's involved in it, I hope that these players look at this and say and realize how careless and reckless, you know, these people from the Marlins were, these people from the Cardinals were, and they apply that and they you know, carry themselves appropriately.
Maybe and here's my question, guys, with football, because one thing that baseball has at their disposal that they're having to use way more than they want to, but you can make up games by having a doubleheader. You can't do that in mm-hmm. football. So if you have that come up and you had a worst-case scenario where a team had an outbreak and it was, hey, we can't play this game today, I wonder what the plan would be to try to make up that game.
That's a really good question, and I do wonder what that plan would be. You know, maybe adjust the schedule to have, you know, a second bye week that would be one that they could utilize for makeup games. I mean, that might be something that they need to look at. I think there's going to be at least one canceled game because it is inevitable. Even if you do go about everything, you know, from a responsible perspective, it's out there. So you can get it, and I think that could end up canceling the game.
I'm with you. I would find it more unbelievable that the NFL goes through the entire regular season without a single game canceled. I hope that happens, but that would be pretty surprising if that happened.
Yeah.
Do you believe your Mets are tanking for Trevor Lawrence?
You had to go,
man.
There.
You know, I
Teron.
It is someone that.
Oh my gosh!
This thing, you know, when it came out that he wasn't returning any calls or they couldn't get in touch with him, I was nervous. Like I was scared. Okay, man, I hope this dude is all right. And it's a relief to know that he just opted out. But I mean, this is a 4-year deal, and you gave him 1 year out of it. I get it. You know,
guy's got issues.
What's going on right now, opting out, but it just, man.
He got us to the World Series, Ron. I will give him that. And so we will always cherish the run to the World Series in 2015. It would not have happened without him, but it cost him a lot after that.
Yeah, without a doubt. It was like, you know, a deal with the devil. Yeah, you know what I mean? And hopefully that deal could come back and be rescinded with what's going on now.
But would you have said, okay, when they made that trade, hey, guys, we're going to make this trade, and you're going to go to the World Series. You're not going to win the World Series, but you're going to have an amazing run. He's going to carry you. And then for the next 4 years, exactly what has happened is that, like, they could have laid the whole thing out for me, and I would have said, you know what, I'll take it. I'll take going to the World Series.
Yeah, I definitely would take it. You know, I would have taken it, and it's just I just think about, you know, Alex Gordon, that straight shot to center field, and, you know, in the ninth inning, and I'm just like, wow. What could have been, you know, but end of the day, you know, it's just something that you kind of adapt to being a Mets fan. And if you're fortunate enough to have experienced the 86 season and even that period of time, you know, the 85 through like 89, you know, it's definitely something that I fall back on. But it's been frustrating being a Mets fan. I'll say that.
Maybe they'll sign Tim Tebow, you know. You never know. Maybe they'll bring him up.
Maybe he could pitch. I mean, Edwin Diaz and what he's been doing is just.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, somebody needs to take the gas can away from him when he goes out there to the mound. Can't take that. Can't trot that gas can out there. All right, I've depressed you enough. My bad. That's on me.
All right, it's all good, man. I'm gonna go watch my 86 Mets. I got the VHS. Yeah. I'm going to figure out a way to. I got the Get Mesmerized, the Year to Remember. So I got to figure out how to watch that.
That's right.
Get me off of the top of this fence.
We'll always have 86.
Who's going to talk with TD this week?
You know what? It's Elijah's going to talk with TD. We're okay. just going to dive into just what's up with the team. I mean, it's going to be there. We're not going to have guests this week. We're just going to talk shop.
I like it. All right. Check it out. This week, talking with TD. Teron, always appreciate the visit. You have a great week.
Yeah, for sure. You guys take it easy.
Teron Davenport, he is the Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. As I said, talking with TD. Usually drops that on Wednesday nights. You can also hear it on these airwaves on ESPN 102.5, the game on, what, Friday nights and Saturday mornings? Is that right, Chase?
Yep.
All right. We'll come back. Remember, this is what I know in about 15 minutes. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Thank you, Matias. Game 2, Predators and Coyotes, tomorrow afternoon. I'll have pregame for you starting at 12:30. 12:30 p.m., 1:30 puck drop. P. Weber and Hal Gill on the call. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Right now, Game 2, Rangers-Hurricanes is underway. Carolina took Game 1, 3-2 to kick off the action on Saturday. And right now, Carolina and the Rangers are even at one with 5.5 to go in the first period. Panarin with a power play goal for the Rangers, and Svechnikov with the goal for Carolina. So 1-1, 5.5 to go in the first period. So the Rangers
I missed
desperately.
The Panarin goal.
I'm sorry?
I missed the Panarin goal. I looked up and it was 1-0 Carolina, and then I checked my computer for a second, and the next thing I know, it's 1-1. So I completely missed that. Did that just happen?
Happened a couple minutes ago.
Oh, I don't know how I missed that.
It was during the break.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
One Every line. Now and then one slips by you there, Chase. 12:05
oh, yeah.
of the first.
It does, yeah. All right.
Rangers, this just in, they need this game. By the way, this is in Toronto, this game.
Yep, coming up at 1:30 is Winnipeg and Calgary. You talk about some bad blood. I cannot wait to see that one. That's the one that you're going to really want to sit on in terms of just nastiness. Because the Matthew Tkachuk, I don't know what you guys thought. It's, you know, he gets the benefit of the doubt. It's hard to accuse somebody of trying to injure another player, but Paul Maurice certainly didn't hold back.
No, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. Tkachuk? No, he doesn't. Other players do. Tkachuk does not.
I know, but
That's
why dirty hit is one thing, but trying to cut a guy, injure a guy, I'm surprised how many people have given him the benefit of the doubt. Aren't you?
Because Paul Maurice, well, I get it. He's taken up for his player, and Shifley is a humongous loss. So I get it. He's ticked, and he should be. But Paul Maurice doesn't know whether Tkachuk did that. That is a lofty statement. You can't just come out and say, unless he wrote it down and signed it, and you've got that piece of paper that says, I'm going to go out and hurt Shifley
right.
in the first period of this game, and signed Matthew Tkachuk. You can't say that. You don't know that. Or if he's skated by the bench and said, I meant to do that, which none of that happened. None of that happened. But I'll say this. Why do these things, when the play happened, and I'm watching it, I knew right away, I was like, it's Tkachuk. It's got to be. It's Tkachuk. Why do those things always happen to Tkachuk? That's why I'm saying it's not a coincidence that so you don't get the benefit of the doubt because you're always in the middle of that stuff. And I don't know, and Paul Maurice doesn't know whether he meant to do it or not, but the problem is you have a track record. You are labeled, and you are labeled for doing stuff like this. You're always in the middle of stuff like this. And you don't get the benefit of the doubt in my mind. So I don't blame Paul Maurice. But, you know, he's come out very strong. He doesn't know. I know he's taken up for his player. He's ticked. He may see the walls closing in on this series, especially if they don't have – by the way, has anybody seen anything? Do they have line A? Do they have Shifley for game two? I haven't seen anything on this.
And I don't think you're going to know until warm-ups.
You know, and if they lose this game, I mean, more than likely they're done in this series. You get down 0-2. I mean, you're not. It's not over, but I mean, your odds are going to be extremely slim to win the next three, especially if you don't have your star players. But nobody knows for sure if Tkachuk did it. But I would just simply say, why is Tkachuk always in the middle of that stuff? So you don't get the benefit of the doubt in my mind. Because the Flames coach said, what if
he be suspended?
Who's the Flames coach? What's his name? Jeff Ward or something?
Oh, it's the guy that took over for Bill Peters.
Is it Jeff
Ward or something?
Anyway.
Yeah, Ward. He gave He gave a long speech trying to defend.
And he was like, if it was Johnny Gaudreau, he's like, right, he's naming these guys on his team. If it was these guys, you wouldn't say anything. Well, you're right. Yeah, that's exactly right. We wouldn't say that. But we're not talking about those guys. We're talking about the same guy every time. So, Coach Ward, yeah, you're right. But that doesn't apply here because we are talking about this guy because we're always talking about this guy. And that's why Paul Maurice said what he did. If it was Gaudreau, he wouldn't say that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's fair.
I polled as many people as I knew, former players. And, you know, we're going to have Stu Grimson on. We'll certainly ask Stu. He will have good, deep analysis of this. And it was mixed, the feedback I got, just saying, okay, what did you think of the play? Do you think there was some intent? And the consensus I got was mixed. Some said no, he wouldn't have done that intentionally. Others said that while he couldn't have tried to cut him, right? But it was the way he sort of twisted. He certainly did not he threw caution to the wind, right? He turned his body in a way that certainly could have avoided the contact, but chose not to avoid the awkward contact as they went into the boards. So it was kind of you can't say he was trying to hurt him, but he certainly tried to do a little twisting and moving, and it was a Matthew Tkachuk play. It was a Matthew Tkachuk play.
Look, I don't blame people. I was watching intermission or in between games last night, the coverage on NBC Sports Network, and it was Anson Carter and A.J. Molesko, who, you know, we've had on many times, Hal's buddy. And, you know, they're asked about that play, and of course they say, you know, was Tkachuk trying to hit him hard? Was he trying to do kind of what you're saying? Yes, but they didn't go there, and I don't blame them. Look, you can't go there publicly on that platform and say, like I said, unless you have a signed document or you have a recording where Tkachuk says, yes, I intended to hurt him. I wanted to hurt Shifley. I said I was going to hurt him in the first period. I don't know if he talks like a robot or not. But if you had that, then of course you can go on a public platform and say, yes, he did that. So I understand. Nobody is going to come out and say, yeah, he meant to do that. Because you could never prove that. So it does you no –
right,
serves
but,
you
but,
no good.
But I guess it comes down to this, though, Darren. I agree. I don't think anybody can get in his head and say he tried to hurt him. But the question would be, could he have avoided that type of contact, and should there be a fine or suspension that goes with it? Matthew Tkachuk defended himself after the game. He gave a long detail. Here's exactly what I saw on the play, what I was thinking, all of these things. And that's fine. But it does come down to, could you have avoided that? And it's an awkward hit to the leg. You know, it's not a hit to the head where it's a lot easier to say, okay, hey, man, I don't care what you were trying to do. You can't hit a guy in the head. But this was an awkward, weird one.
Willie, that's my Tkachuk thing. Should be pretty good at answering those questions now. He should be a pro at answering
exactly.
those questions
He's been on the
now.
Stand many times.
He should know backwards and forwards how to answer these questions because he's done it his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, I think I look at it and I go – okay, probably could have avoided some things, but that's the type of player he is, and it's, you know, he's going to look at it. It's a bang-bang play, and that's what happened. I didn't think it was absolutely dirty, premeditated, or any of that. I don't think that, but I think it was a Tkachuk-type play. And
well, that's
did
where
anybody
I
see
I'm with you. I
camera-
don't feel that way, but once again, you go, but it's Tkachuk, so... To me, everything's fair game because of who it is.
I would like to see the other camera angle that Paul Maurice claims shows much more malicious intent. The replay that we got over and over on the TV feed, and I was surprised there weren't like three or four different looks of it. I can't really tell that much, right? Did you guys? But Paul Maurice was like, if you look down the blue line camera, you can really see a kicking motion or whatever it was he said that was malicious.
Yeah, I didn't see what Paul Maurice.
Yeah, but let me ask you this though: if you're Paul Maurice, you're the head coach of your team, and your best player just got hurt, you're down. I mean, I don't think it matters who hit Shifley. You still have to kind of fight. I mean, it's optics at that point. So it's
no.
You know, he might truly
strong,
believe
his words
that.
Were really strong. It's not that way if it's Monahan. If Monahan delivers that hit, same result, he doesn't come out like that. It's strictly because, I mean, he went on a soapbox.
No, I know.
It was strictly because it was Tkachuk. It wasn't just because of the result. Yeah, the result didn't help, but if it's Monahan, he does not go anywhere near with the strong words other than because it was Tkachuk, in my opinion.
No, and that's the reputation. And reputation in hockey doesn't go away.
But I think Matthew Tkachuk will be in the lineup today. There's no indication that he won't, right?
I guess we would have known. Yeah, we would have known by now, right? If something was
going to happen. I think
so. Yeah, I would think we would.
Guys, I'm just going to go on and say this. I looked at what we're giving away. And, Chase, we got a firsthand look at this place when we went to Gatlinburg this year because we played golf right next door. We're giving away a family four-pack to Soaky Mountain, 50-acre water park there in Pigeon Forge. And this place is awesome. We're going to give away a family four-pack. I am geeked.
That place looked cool.
But you got to bring it. You're going to have to bring it for this prize, man. This place is really cool. It's right next door to Wilderness Lodge. That's where we played golf one day. And you can't miss it. The Soaky Mountain is huge. And it just opened. So this is brand new. And we're going to give away a family four-pack to that. But you're going to have to bring it. You have to earn it. 615-737-1025. All you have to do is just tell us what you know. That's on the other side. That's how we'll wrap up hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
We do want to know what you know. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. This is where you participate in the show, and all you have to do is just tell us what you know. And we've got a heck of a prize. A family four-pack of tickets to Soaky Mountain Water Park in Sevierville, which is right on the it's in Pigeon Forge. It's next to Wilderness Lodge. Chase and I saw this firsthand back in June. We played golf right across the street. You cannot miss this place. It sits on 50 acres. It's a 50-acre water park. And it is incredible. And it's got just about anything and everything. It's kid-friendly. It's got an activity pool with smaller towering slides. Plus, it's got the big rides for adults. It's got a winding wave river. It's got a 35,000-square-foot wave pool that produces waves up to 6 feet. It's got it all, man. It's got a surf ride deal. Really cool place there in Pigeon Forge. 50-acre water park. That's what's on the line. A four-pack of tickets to Soaky Mountain Water Park. But you're going to have to participate in the show. 737-1025. 737-1025. Who wants to lead us off?
Well, I don't believe Soaky Mountain is connected in any way with Smoky Mountain Tops that you hear me talking about a lot.
No.
Just for the record there. But this would be a fun outing for it. I will give you a quick reiterated This Is What I Know from our predictions last week. And so I want to make this clear that I said this before the series started, but I'm standing by it. This is what I know. There will be multiple teams in the qualifying round in the NHL playoffs that lose the first game and win the series. And there will be at least one team that will lose the first two and come back and win the series. I'm sticking by it.
You call that. You're going to call somebody down 0-2 is going to win a five-game series in this qualifying round. And what was the other
one?
And
multiple teams who lose the first game will come back and win the series.
Okay.
So I will say multiple being at least three.
At least three.
That qualifies as multiple.
I'm going to say at least three.
Wow, you could have just said multiple is two.
I could have said, yeah, that would have been nebulous. I'm going to say three. Three or more, and at least one.
You know this.
This is what I know.
You know
these teams are too even.
We got to
write this
down.
These teams are too evenly matched.
Elijah, mark the tape right there. Willie knows that at least three teams who lost game one are coming back and winning the series, and a team is going to be down 0-2 and win a series. You mark the tape. He knows that, and that's going to happen. Wow, that's impressive.
That's good.
I think you need to go to, if that happens, you missed the mark. You should have been in Vegas making some money or do it online. Get Chase to do some, and you get some good odds on that stuff. Make yourself a lot of money. Because if you know that, you can put some
I said it on Friday, so I'm staying with it now.
Okay. All right. Chase, what do you know?
This is what I know. Hit it. If you smell what The Rock is cooking. This came out this morning that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, former WWE superstar, and his investment group
is going to wrestle with PK Subban.
Yes. No, not really. They have purchased the XFL for approximately $15 million. The XFL, he intends to make it a made-for-TV product. They could transition as early as 2021 to a bubble concept during this pandemic. He wants to bring the XFL back after it flopped, after its return. So he has bought that from out of a bankruptcy that it filed for in April. So The Rock thinks that he can add some Vince McMahon-type flair to the XFL, along with his investment group, his business partner, Danny Garcia, who's actually his ex-wife, and then Redbird Capital Partners. They have bought the XFL. So that is what I know.
What is The Rock worth?
Oh, man.
I know. Let's just guess. Before you look it up, let's just guess. What's he worth? You're the expert. You throw the first guess.
I'm really bad at this game, though.
Okay, but
I'd say $250 million.
Okay, $250 million. Willie, what do you think The Rock is worth?
I have no idea. Well, it's got to be.
I know that's why we're playing.
It's got to be $500 billion.
Oh, okay.
Whew. Well, I mean, okay. I don't know, but he's been in all of these movies.
I have it now.
You know,
you said 500. I say 250.
Okay. I'm going
to play. You have it according to who? Is it an estimate from Forbes magazine or something?
I'm going
to
play the middle. So what's the middle? That was at 375? I'm going to play the middle. I'm going to middle both of your guesses.
Okay.
And go 375.
According to CelebrityNetWorth.com, which is a pretty reliable source on this, The Rock Dwayne Johnson is worth $320 million.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. So do I win or does Chase win because I went over?
You went over. Okay. If we're going Price is Right rules.
Okay. Wow.
That's in 2019. Gosh. So this was last updated in 2019.
I think he's made another 50, 60
But why
million,
would you
so
want to sink it into
right.
that league? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Willie, if you're worth $320 million and he's got it for $15 million, what is he? I mean, it's not like – he'll figure out a way
it's
to make
a good
money.
Way to, it's a good way to drain your funds pretty quick.
He'll write it off as a charity. It's a tax break. When you're worth that much, you're always looking for tax breaks. $320 million. It is good to be Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And PK Subban has been working out with him.
Well, so The Rock and Lindsay are buddies. They've
okay.
done stuff together. So that's kind of how that happened.
Okay. PK
what do you
always
know?
Finds his way into any circle he wants, can't he?
I mean, he
can even work out with The Rock.
Yeah.
All right, let's find out what other people know. 615-737-1025. Great prize attached to this. A family four-pack to Soquy Mountain Water Park, which is in Sevierville, Tennessee. Brand new. Sits on 50 acres. Let's go to Corey. Corey, you're first up. What do you know?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. We all know the saying, happy wife, happy life, correct?
Yep.
Well, Major League Baseball, don't ruin this for me here. I'm a huge baseball fan, and right now the way you're going, that seat is going to get canceled. And if that gets canceled, I'm going to be grumpy. My wife won't be pleased with that. But then what's going to make it worse is if for some reason the University of Georgia does not have football this fall or any other football doesn't happen, my wife is going to be really, really, really unhappy. So Major League Baseball, get your act together. Get the season continued. Don't let it ruin football because I need to have a happy wife in my house.
Who are you a fan of in baseball?
Cubs. Been a Cubs fan since the mid-'80s.
Okay. Okay. Well, we are rooting for you, Corey.
I appreciate that.
We are rooting for SEC football and Major League Baseball to play.
So what you're saying, though, is your wife is very happy when you are occupied watching the games so she can go do her thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. She'd rather me have the baseball on so she can do her thing.
Okay. All right. Well, we're rooting for you, Corey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sounds like a win-win situation.
Yeah, I agree. 737-1025. Nate, what do you know?
This is what I know, fellas. There's a couple of Chinese restaurants in Colombia that have smartly changed their pickup process. You order over the phone, and when you get there, they have the door kind of boarded off where they have either glass or plexiglass or something where you can see through. And they have a microphone and a box on the outside where you can talk to the restaurant. Well, when you pick up your food, it's almost like a bank teller where you're in your car and you put the money in the drop box and they pick it up on the other side. It's almost the same thing. And I just thought that was a really cool idea that I would have never thought of.
Huh. Interesting. Where was this again?
Columbia, Tennessee. I saw one over next to, I think it's Foodland. And I was told that there's another Chinese restaurant that's doing the same thing in Columbia. So there's two of them that are doing it.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Thank you, Nate.
Thank you.
Let's get to Chris real quick. Chris, what do you know?
This is what I know. I've never won anything in my life. But if
nothing?
I win today, those tickets go to a family at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital.
You've never won anything in your life ever?
73. Never won anything.
Gosh, that's depressing, Chris.
Except for my bride of 52 years.
that's a good one.
That is nice.
Good job, Chris.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate
it.
We got tough decisions to make. Who's our winner? That was good stuff. All right, we'll come back. We'll head east. Speaking of Sevierville, close to that, we'll go to Knoxville. Vince Ferrara, we talk to him every Monday at noon, WNML, the sports animal. A lot of news on that front. We'll talk with Vince on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.